Welcome back, folks. We are finally here. The big one. Chapter 14, Dragon Heist.
It feels like we've been building to this moment for an eternity, doesn't it? The Vault of Dragons, the Stone of Golar, the chase. It all culminates in this absolute pressure cooker of a finale.
And what a finale it is. I mean, we open right in the middle of chaos. You've got Golar, this ancient Lovecraftian tentacle horror, literally wrestling a red dragon, Dexamethasone.
It's essentially Godzilla versus Kong happening in a basement. The description is visceral. You've got tentacles wrapping around the dragon's neck, claws raking black ichor. It's heavy metal album cover stuff.
But the party isn't just watching, right? They're trying to figure out who to hit. You've got Gabbage throwing acid, Tuki throwing smoke grenades, and Delnus contemplating his holy trident.
That trident moment was fascinating. Delnus notices the symbols on the stone match his weapon. It's a nice lore beat in the middle of a brawl. But frankly, the scariest thing happening isn't the kaiju fight. It's Doug.
Right. Poor Doug. He is not having a good time. He's completely glazed over, dominated by the Aboleth, walking toward the water.
And his internal monologue during this? Terrifying. He's seeing this endless sea, a red sky, and an obelisk surrounded by thousands of Aboleths. He hears sovereignty, servitude. We're getting a glimpse into a cosmic horror hive mind here.
Which manifests in the real world as Doug casting fireball at a supporting wall to flood the room with seawater. He's actively trying to terraform the vault for his new squid masters.
Enter Raynar, or Raynar, as we should probably say with air quotes, who tackles Doug and slaps an eye patch on him.
A magical eye patch that instantly breaks the mind control. You know, just a totally normal item for a city noble to be carrying around in his packet.
Super casual. Oh, in case of Aboleth domination, break glass. The party doesn't have time to unpack that, though, because the water is rising, and they decide to pull a risky maneuver. Help the dragon.
Enemy of my enemy is my friend. Gabbage releases dexamethasone from the immovable rod, and the dragon goes to work. Doug and Gabbage combine spells, fireball and moonbeam, and they essentially obliterate Golar.
And then we get perhaps the funniest moment in the entire campaign. The dragon lands, and Doug tries to high-five it?
He does. And dexamethasone actually reciprocates, though, because of the size difference, he nearly crushes Doug into the floor.
I love the idea of a red dragon having a bro moment right before the inevitable betrayal.
Which happens almost immediately. The dragon realizes Raynar is an imposter, and this is the first shoe to drop. Raynar basically shrugs, says, "Looks like you guys got this," and vanishes.
He totally ghosted them, left them alone with an angry ancient dragon. But this is where Tuki becomes the MVP. He remembers the legend of the missing scale.
Classic Smaug reference. Tuki spots the gap under the wing, pulls out his blunderbuss, and takes the shot. One shot. Boom. Dragon down.
It's incredible. Tuki has cemented himself as a dragon slayer. But then reality sets in. They are standing in front of 500,000 gold pieces, a mountain of wealth. And they have to leave.
Because the room is flooding. This is the tragedy of D&D physics. Carrying capacity is a cruel mistress. They shove about 74,000 gold into a bag of holding, grab some scales, and crucially, Gabbage finds a staff.
The Dragon Staff of Aguron. The thing that literally prevents dragons from entering Waterdeep, that is an artifact-level item.
They are feeling good. They beat the monster, they beat the dragon, they got the loot, they run up the stairs, and they're TPK in the cinematic!
Cutscene incompetence struck again. They walk into an ambush, drow sleep poison bolts from everywhere. And finally, the mask comes off, Raynar steps out, drops the disguise, and reveals he is none other than Jarlaxle Bainra.
The leader of the Bregendarth mercenaries, the flamboyant drow pirate himself. The description is perfect. Wide-brimmed hat, giant feather, spurred boots.
He is style incarnate, and he's so polite about robbing them. He basically says, "I find you charming, but I'll take that dragon staff, thank you very much." And then they pass out.
When they wake up back at the tavern, it turns out Jarlaxle didn't leave them empty-handed. He left them the 74,000 gold.
Which is wild. He played the long game. He returned the bulk of the gold to the city to buy political favor for Luskin, but he let the party keep a literal fortune.
It's brilliant writing. Jarlaxle isn't a villain, exactly. He's an opportunist. He used the party to clear the dungeon, took the MacGuffin, the staff, for leverage, gave the gold to the city for clout, and paid off the party to keep them quiet.
And in his letter, he drops hooks for everyone. He tells Doug to check his family tree, implies he stole Gnarl's spellbook, and even offers Tuki a revenge plot.
And he ends the letter with, "Send me a DM." Just perfect.
So where does this leave them? They lost the staff, but they are rich, alive, and friends with the Open Lord of Waterdeep, supposedly.
I'd call that a win, but I have a feeling having that much money is going to bring a whole new set of problems.
Mo money, mo dragons. We'll see what happens next time.